I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Something sad happened.
No, oh, you know what it is. But you just didn't know I was going to talk about it.
Oh.
Janice and I went on a little 2-month tour. And we had this very lovely driver. Our driver. His name was Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out a few days ago that Jeff had had a massive heart attack and had passed away. And it really got me thinking because, I mean, this guy lived with us for 2 months. He lived with us. He drove with my bird on his shoulder. My daughter would sit on his lap. I mean, Janice would hang out and have coffee with him every morning.
Made him tea every day.
Every day. I mean, and by the way, he was, I think, 59.
He was in his late 50s.
Late 50s, smoked, chain smoker, sedentary lifestyle. High blood pressure. Wasn't overweight, though. Maybe 15, 20 pounds. Was not a heavy guy. And he was driving for John Mayer.
Yeah, on that big tour.
Wasn't feeling well for 2 days. Had a massive heart attack and died. I mean, I don't know. A couple things here. Number one, obviously, I just kept thinking, like, oh, my God. Like, did he not go to the doctor? Like, how do you not know this? Like, if you have high blood pressure, if your arteries are clogged, like, please, God, you've got to get your routine checkups. Because I wouldn't have known. I didn't know. It completely caught me off guard. And it's very interesting because Jeff's not a part of my daily routine at the moment. It's like I haven't fully processed it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, no, that's silly. He's out there driving John Mayer right now. And it got me thinking, though, about you, Manis, because I'm so mean to you all the time.
About me?
Yeah. It got me thinking, And I, you know, and Janice said something so sweet about, like, how are we supposed to process this information? And you sent this email and it was so lovely. And because Heidi, was, of course, was on it. And I sent you that email and I was like, I love you, man. And I realized that, like, I joke around a lot because I grew up and it's very interesting because my dad, the way that he showed affection was to pick on you. If he wasn't picking on you, he didn't like you.
Right.
You know, that's how I knew affection. And it's, you know, it's something that I try to work on. But I can kind of tell who understands it now and who doesn't. There are people that don't understand it. You know, like I've picked on assistants. I've picked on PAs. I've picked on you. I've picked on Jake. I pick on Heidi. And if you know me, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I'm kidding. And it's how I give attention. It's like the boy that shoots spitballs at the girl in fifth grade.
Sure.
Because I just obviously have intimacy issues very clearly. And it's just sort of how I grew up. And I guess, and I would always joke around with Heidi and you know, she'd wake up in the morning and I would look at her and I'd be like, nobody loves you. Just me. And she, you know, she's like, you haven't told me no one loves me in a while. And I was like, just me. And I was like, I'm all you've got. I'm the only one, you know, and like, I was like, you've nowhere to go. And, you know, and she just learns how to live with me. You know what I mean? Like she knows how to live with me. But I guess I started thinking like, I don't know. We did this whole segment about regrets, you know, losing loved ones.
Yeah. Yep.
But really, I think if you're like me and you do that, I guess, or if you have a hard time, or you use like humor, or you have a hard time being vulnerable, or you don't really show affection in a very like sort of straightforward way, in a very like, I don't know, in a way that's like not pick, you know, joking or does that make sense? In a way that's just straightforward. Like, I don't know. Things happen, man.
But this has come.
Life changes in a second.
But, Jillian, I have never doubted for a second that you don't care for me. Never. I've never doubted it. However, this is like someone's judging. Someone's telling you, Jillian, you shouldn't tease people.
No, they're not. I've heard that my whole life and never cared. Because I always thought, like, no, really. But if I knew someone, if I knew it hurt their feelings, if they didn't understand it. Like, Brittany once said to me, she's like, I just feel like, you know, I can't remember, like, it hurt her feelings. Like, she'd say something, or, like, she'd show up and I'd be like, oh, well, thanks for showing up today, Britt. Or, like, I would pick on her and it didn't work for her. She didn't like it. And I was like, God, I'm really sorry. You know, I stopped doing it to her because she didn't like it. It hurt her feelings. And I was like, that's not my intention. I was like, I thought you could tell when I'm mad, because when I was mad, I was like, Britt, dude, I said this, I need that. You know, I'm very straightforward. When I'm mad, I have no problem being
mad. She's straightforward.
When I'm mad, I have no problem telling you exactly what's going on. You know, that's like, I guess I just, you know, it's one thing to sort of say, to be that way and to joke, but if you are that way, or if you're uncomfortable with vulnerability, or you're uncomfortable with intimacy, or I think people do get that. And I even pick on my all the time. I mean, I look at my daughter and like, oh, we'll be wrestling and I'll be holding her down and tickling her and flipping her upside down. I'm like, you know what? I don't even like kids. And she'll laugh like crazy, you know, because she now knows me. I'm like, I don't get your brother and get out. You know, and she's like, all the time. Oh, yeah. And she looks at me. She goes, I'm taking mommy. I was like, oh, no, you're not. Mommy stays. She's like, no, mommy comes. I'm like, no mommy for you. You know, like we do that all the time. But it's like, I thought like, God, I don't want her to ever grow up. And just, you know, so then I really every night I'm like, who's my favorite little girl in the world? Me. Who's the most beautiful little girl in the world? Me. You know, so I know that she like has that too.
Yes.
You know, who do I love more than you? Nobody. Who's, you know, like, how much do I love you? And she opens her arm, you know. So, but I don't know. I guess I just feel like at any given minute, life can turn on a dime, man. On a dime. Jesus. It's just at any given second, the rug can be pulled out from under you. And I know we did a segment on regret. It's not so much about regret, but it's like, don't hold back. So, Janice, as much as it pains me to say this, I think you're a really good person. You're a huge asset to the show. And we love you. All right. Oh, just hold up. Okay.
No, you know what it is? It's like, I think we always think about the last. It's like, what? I know where you're coming from. Because we think about the last thing we've left somebody with.
And I
guess
so.
And if it was a crossword or something, like Jeff, like the way we left Jeff. Like, I know the way we left him was in a very loving way.
Yeah, that's
so we
true.
I have closure. I know you do, because when we left, when we said our goodbyes. So, but
yeah.
But when you and, like, let's say when you and I say goodbye, and I'm not going to see you, let's say, for, that's always, there's never a cross. You and I have never.
I don't know. I would be really upset, though, if something had happened to you, and I guess I hadn't told you that. So, but I'm not going to ruin it by being me. So maybe we should end the segment.
I could ruin it because I'm surprised you haven't said anything about my outfit yet today. So
I'm trying not to. I'm trying so hard.
I
didn't tell Heidi no one loves her today. I didn't say anything about your ensemble, and I didn't tell my daughter that I don't like it.
Be you. And that's all I'm going to say. Be you.
Maybe, I guess. But at the same time, make sure you've said everything you do need to say.
Exactly.
Don't let your issues hold you back.
Well said. Well said.
So I can't remember if I've talked about this on the show, but I got suckered by Sanjay Gupta into doing this Malibu triathlon. It's a sprint triathlon. It's like a half a mile swim, a 20-mile bike, and like a 5K, like a 3.2-mile run. And I just, like, the swim scares me a little because I don't like being cold. I've never swam in the ocean. I swim in a pool, so I don't know about the current. And I've never swam with a wetsuit on, like, swam. So I don't know how hard that's going to be. It takes me like 25 minutes to do the swim, 20, 25 minutes in a pool, I think, because I kind of like walked it out and took a guess.
Walked it out?
I kind of like measured my feet, like how many feet are in a mile, and walked to the end of the pool and then like did the math.
Oh my Lord.
I swear to God. The biking, no problem. The running, I hate running. And I have spent just so...
Well, it hurts you, doesn't it? Don't you get hurt, injured?
Not if you run right, not if you're built for it, but it's like, I've spent so much time always trying to learn how to run better, because I'm just a terrible runner. I just am a terrible runner. I'm just not built for it. So I'm always like trying to think there's some sort of secret to it that I don't know. So in my quest to try to run a little better, I found a few tips for those of you who may want to start running just stuff to kind of who are trying a race or a 5K or a half miler or I'm sorry, half marathon or a full marathon. So the first thing is, if you're starting out running for the first, you know, you haven't worked out for a while and you want to get into it, the key is to start out 3 times a week, because anything less than that, you're not really going to see improvement. You know, my contestants were on Jacob's Ladder the other day, and they were on with a member of another team, and I was training them, you know, off camera. I had Bob's team and my team, and my team was telling the blue team, they're like, it never gets easier. And I was like, you don't do it enough for it to get easier. You guys only do it when I make you do it. Like, you have to do something at least 3 times a week for it to get easier. So if you go running once a week, but you're like, oh, it's never getting easier, you got to run at least 3 times a week. You don't want to run every day,
right?
Because you're pounding the pavement and it is very stressful on the body and on the joints and on the ligaments and on the tendons. But you want to start 3 times a week, and in a perfect world, run 4 times a week. Unless you're training for a marathon, which is a slightly different animal. But starting out, go for 3 20-minute sessions, work your way up to 3 30-minute sessions, and progress from there. Now, with regard to your mental state of mind, we've talked about this a little bit, but it's something I always tell my team. Picture success. So when you're working out, if you're hating it, and I hate running,
Think about why you're doing it. Think about what the goal is. Think about the finish line. Think about fitting into the wedding dress. Think about completing the marathon or the sprint try by a certain time. Don't think about, ugh, I'm in so much pain. Ugh, I can't breathe. Ugh, I hate this. Or it just feels like a punishment. Think about, I always tell my contestants, with every step, you're getting that much closer to,
right,
you know, having that baby, fitting into that wedding gown, you know, standing on the scale at the finale. Like, with every step, it's just one step closer to that picture in your mind's eye of success. You know, what you're working for. Remind yourself of what you're working for. We talk about, if you have that why to live for, you can tolerate the how. If the running is the how you get there, remember the why.
Right.
Pick a mantra. This one always helps me. You know, I always tell my contestants to finish it strong. Finish it strong. Finish it stronger than you started. The finish is key. If you get 90% of the way there and think it's good enough, it's not good enough. You've just blown 90% of that work. Finish strong. Focus that much more. Dig that much deeper. Run that much faster. Finish it strong. But it could be whatever mantra you have, something that motivates you. You know, I earned this. I deserve this. Right. I can do this. I'm, you know, whatever it might be. And if you're having one of those days, and we've talked about this before, where it's like, oh my God, a 30-minute workout, or, you know, just the thought of a workout feels like torture. I'll tell myself, okay, you know, I'm going to run 5 minutes. And if I'm just miserable and I'm still in pain and I'm unhappy, I'll run home. I'll turn around. And I think you'll find if you give that yourself that permission, it doesn't feel as stringent. It doesn't feel as much like work because you have a more forgiving attitude about it. Now, by the time you're in your shoes and you're in your little outfit and you've hit the pavement and 5 minutes are in and your music is going, you're like, ugh, all right, 5 more minutes. Okay, I'm just going to finish. I'm just going to get to here and then I'll turn around. And by the time it's over, you've done your 3 miles. You've done your 30 minutes or whatever it might be.
I do that a lot.
Me too. I absolutely do too. And then I just wanted to sort of go over, you know, if, like, what is the pace that you should progress? You don't want to increase your total amount of running by more than 10 to 15% a week. So it could be distance or it could be time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're running 30 minutes, go up to 33 minutes a week. Then 36, you know, go up 10 to 15% a week until you get where you want to be. If it's 45 minutes or if it's 60 minutes, that's a nice, safe way to progress. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you'll find with running, you can get stress fractures, shin splints, IT band syndrome, tendonitis, patella tendonitis, Achilles tendonitis, and so on. So you really want to start 3 times a week, 20 minutes, and then work your way up 30, 40, 45, 60, and so on, 10 to 15% a week with regard to time or distance, and then get up to 4 times a week. You don't need to run more than that, again, unless you're specifically training for a marathon. And if you are training for some sort of distance run, and it's not about weight loss, let's talk about hydration, especially if you're getting that stitch in your side. A lot of times, it's a hydration thing. So 4 hours before you train, drink 12 ounces of water. And then 2 hours before you train, drink another 12 ounces of water. Because it helps. It's like you're not, it's not sloshing around. I hate drinking before I train because then it's like, ugh, you just hear it sloshing around in there. It makes you feel sick. But if you pound water 4 hours before, then 2 hours before, it'll have time to absorb and hydrate you. So, you know, if you're running at 8 in the morning, obviously, you know, make sure you drink a lot of water before bed. Even they're going to pee all night long. Hydrate. Hydration is key. And if you're running a distance race, you want to take in about 4 ounces of fluid every 15 minutes. That way it won't, you know, you're not drinking a big glass of water, but it allows you to stay hydrated on the run. If you're on a longer run and you find that you hit that wall, that you need that glucose jolt, one of the things I like to do is I get these organic energy chews. And you can find them at a place called honeystinger.com. I just pop one, like if I'm, because as I train for the try, it's gonna take me 2 hours. I just know it.
Well, you know what concerns me about your is that the first thing is the swim, is always the swim, and you're avoiding the swim. If you start out funky, it's going to throw you off. You've got to hit the pool.
I don't have access to like a pool to swim in. We did it on vacation, and I can get through it, but the ocean freaks me out. It's cold. The Pacific sucks, man. The Pacific's cold.
I know it is.
It's freezing, and there's currents, and there's sharks, and I'm dreading it.
dreading. But you just got it. If you start out in something that you're not used to, anyway, on a personal note.
I hear you.
You got to hit the pool.
And people have told me they like really practice that run after the bike ride. So, because like I'll do the bike ride and I'll do the run, but I very rarely do the bike ride and then the run.
Yeah. Sure, because your body's, yeah.
I know.
But, yeah. All right.
And make sure that you eat at least an hour to 2 hours before you run. But you don't want to eat, once you hit that hour mark, stop eating. But don't eat like 45 minutes, 30 minutes, because then you get that food in your stomach and all the blood is going to digest the food.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's all.
Well.
Oh, I'm dreading this.
No, you're going to do great. Jillian, mentally, you're already there. It's just I'm concerned about the pool.
I am a little worried about the swim myself.
The swim.
I'm not going to kid you. I know.
You just got to go to a... There's a million pools in the city.
I wanted to talk about real quick also some new form tips that I learned.
Okay.
That I forgot about. So we always talk about... You know, having that very slight lean, keeping your eyes on the horizon, you know, keep looking forward and so on, not striking on the heel anymore. It's about striking on the midfoot.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, I know.
The whole philosophy's changed now.
Like a little T-Rex, you want your hands between the bottom rib and you want to run like a little T-Rex with your hands between your bottom rib and your hip bone, but don't cross. Yeah, you don't want to cross, go across the body. You don't want your arms swinging across the body. You don't want your hips to swing side to side like you're doing salsa. It's not salsa. And you also want to count how many times your feet hit the ground in a minute. So you want to aim for 85 to 90 times per minute for your feet to strike the ground. That should set your pace.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Yeah. And then as your foot hits the ground, you want to think about squeezing your glutes and pulling your leg back. So you're firing your glutes because it helps. Because if you don't do that, you start to get imbalanced and you're running more with your psoas and your hip flexors. And it can lead to iliotibial band syndrome, which is something that I struggle with, which is another reason I hate to run. So you want to shorten that stride and speed up your cadence. And that's how you know you're doing that is by shortening that stride. The minute your foot leaves the ground, get it right back underneath your hip bone and aim for 85 to 90 steps per minute.
Step strikes. Wow.
Yeah. Now I'm done.
All right.
Fine.
Well, all the best with that triathlon.
Janice, I want to tell you about this cool thing I'm involved with. It's called Sweat USA. I thought maybe you could be one of my backup people. Listen up.
Really?
That's right. So I actually did an event last year in Atlantic City. And now I'm doing a couple of events. I'm doing one in Miami, and it's going to be October 11th through the 13th, which is Columbus Day weekend. I'm doing one in Atlantic City, which is scheduled for the weekend of September 21st through September 22nd. And basically, it's a fitness expo with the top names in fitness. Everybody from myself, Tony Horton, Sean T. And there's also going to be classes by every major fitness regimen that's hot right now, from Flywheel, CrossFit, Zumba, you name it. They've got demonstrations, vendors, consumer expo, keynote speakers. And, I mean, you get to work out with me. I mean, what's going to be cooler than that?
And me is backup. Yeah. Janice is backup.
Right? Okay. So for those of you who want to see that spectacle, just go to sweatusa.com and register. It's going to be awesome. So if you've ever wanted me to kick your butt and watch Janice make a fool of herself, this is how you do it. So please join me. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's sweatusa.com. Oh, Janice has a segment.
Yes, I do.
Here
this is
we go.
The third basket I've made in a row today. I just keep banging those into the trash today.
I know. I have noticed that.
Kobe.
Yeah, that's right. Watch out, O'Brien. O'Brien.
O'Brien.
That wee Irish player on the LA Lakers, Kobe O'Brien.
Bryant.
Oh, he's the tip of the Irish.
Bryant. Kobe Bryant.
Kobe.
Oh, no. Kobe. I feel like such a jerk.
Oh, Kobe, bring your shillelagh. Oh, God. No.
Okay.
Okay, I'm Watch done. Out. I'm done.
Bryant.
Because we are now into the beginning of school, I do have something, and it's because I see a little... No, I do. Believe it or not, I have a back-to-school segment.
Oh, jeez.
No, listen. It's because I see little girls walk by my house on the way to the elementary school, and they look like Sherpas. Honest to God, they're like little tiny girls, and they look like they're going to the Himalayas, and their little backs.
Because the school sends a list, and it's like, dude, I kid you not, it's like, we need a bathing suit, we need a change of clothes, they need a towel, they need their favorite toys, they need their food, they need a canteen, we need a flashlight, we need a drill, we need a hammer, we need...
Well, I swear
a GPS device. Really? I kid you not. I mean, it takes us a half an hour to get our bag ready for school every night.
Well, it's nuts because, honestly, if you
cut their sandwich in quarters, make sure to leave a note, blah, 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 blah. Include a picture of the family dog. I'm not...
Oh, my God. I swear to God, if I tip... It's like cow tipping. If I tip those little girls over, they'd be stuck on their back like turtles. I swear to God, they'd be lying in the street. But I did, I looked up. I went, a kid's backpack. And there was a thing from UCLA that said that 50% of kids are experiencing pain and fatigue from these backpacks.
Oh, my God.
And the doctor says they're carrying backpacks that weigh more than 15% of their body weight. Mm. Right? They say to manage the load, children are sometimes arching their backs, leaning forward, causing them to develop poor posture.
Oh.
That's right. And it can also develop a thing called scapular winging.
Oh, okay.
Which is when the nerves... the shoulders become pinched, causing paralysis. Like, it's bad. The Sherpas. So now I'm going to give you...
I've yet to meet a paralyzed 3-year-old, but okay.
No, but look at their little bat. They're tiny little kids.
I hear you. So what's the solution?
Okay, here it is. Now, I'm ready. Nobody gives a crap what I say.
No, I'm ready for the solution.
All right, number one.
Yeah.
Wear no more than 15% of their body weight.
You can't do that, dude. They put all the... They need all this crap in there.
Well, okay, I'm coming to that. Keep the backpack use limited to necessities only. So maybe they don't need the GPS and the bathing suit
and the buck knife on Tuesdays.
I'm
just saying. I mean, what I do is I'll walk. See, this is different. She doesn't walk to school. We take her to school. I walk the backpack in, put everything in her cubby.
So she doesn't have to. Well, I have the little girls that have to walk over hill and dale to get to school.
Uphill both ways in the snow.
Oh, yeah. I just said I have little girls. I don't have any children. I'm barren. Anyway.
You have Luberg.
I have the Berg. That's right.
And shorts. Mr. Shorts.
Mr. Shorts.
Mr. Poopy Pants.
Use both straps. Don't let the kids put one strap on.
Okay, I like it.
Recognize the signs that the backpack is too heavy. So obviously, if they're on their back and they can't get up, that's a sign.
Okay.
Select a proper backpack that enhances the comfort.
Oh, they're not going to do that. They just want the aesthetics.
Then figure something out if they want ninja. What do they get in these days, the kids? The Ninja Turtles?
I can't tell you how ugly the one Lou chose was. I almost died. It's like a green and purple tie-dye. backpack with Dora on it. I hate that Dora. I hate her guts.
She watched Dora every day on the bus.
She's just a know-it-all bitch, that Dora.
Dora's smart.
No, I can't stand her. The only thing I like about her, she speaks Spanish. So Luna, she's like, hola, mama. I'm like, really? Really?
Okay. Pick the backpack up properly. Mm. Teach your child how to pick it up. But demonstrating how to bend the knees and grasp it. Mm-hmm. Now, the solution, you asked for a solution, is that, now I've seen some of the little girls walk by, the ones that look like they're going to like a casino trip to Reno with the pulley bags.
Oh, stop it.
Seriously.
Stop. With luggage?
Newer backpacks with wheels is also an option.
Then they're just going to get picked on.
No, I realize it looks like they're going on a bus tour.
Like little paste eaters. You can't do that. They're going to get beat up.
No, they do pick it, but it's got the wheels on it. And you can get some pretty hip-looking...
How would you know? Look at you. You wouldn't know the first thing.
I see the little kids, and I've seen the two of them. They have the wheels, and I think, aren't you? First of all, I kind of went, oh, dear. And then I went, aren't you smart little girls? And don't you have a smart mummy to send you off?
Mommy
with?
That's going to give them, you're going to be in therapy for the rest of their lives.
Well, better that than a humpback whale when they're, 30.
Humpback whale.
Humpback.
Oh, humpback whale?
I don't know.
I would have rather you go with like Quasimodo.
Oh, Quasimodo's good too.
Yeah, I don't think a humpback really applies.
Well, there you go. That's from UCLA, the David Geffen School of Medicine.
That's your segment?
That's my segment.
That's your back to school segment.
Oh, also, and a fun thing for your kids is the bento box lunches. It's a new and fang-dangled thing.
What is it?
It's a way to pack a lunch that's kind of fun. Like, you know, bento. Oh, you know, when
you're
you go
packing it.
Yeah, you're packing the lunch for the kids.
Okay.
Look how fun it is. Look, it's fun. Look at fun. See?
You buy these bento boxes?
Yeah, you make them yourself.
Are they disposable? That's not very green.
No, you can use them over again. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you go to the Japanese food restaurant and you have, I have the lunch bento box. And how much fun it is. It's fun. It's like a fun
lunch.
Okay,
so where do you buy this bento box?
Anywhere.
No, not anywhere. I've been many places and I haven't seen the kids' bento box.
Well, it's just all it is.
It's called takeaway. Where do they buy it?
Well, I'd have to look up the stores and then I don't know if we're allowed to say that.
Where do they buy it and how much is it?
It's cheap and they can buy it at any department store.
Are you sure about that?
You could go online and type in bento box for kids.
You sure?
I think the store with the big round
Target.
Target.
Okay.
I believe they have them.
Okay. And they're reusable.
Yes.
They're green.
All right.
Yeah, they're like lunch boxes. Like
Autumn has Googled it. All right.
See? Isn't that fun? But look how much fun you can have.
I guess that might be a little more green because I always put her stuff in like, I'm always having to put the sandwich in the baggie and then the crackers in the baggie and then the cheese is in its own little bag.
In this way, Lucy just opens up her bento box. Wouldn't you want to have a lunch like that? That's fun. And you put it in your backpack with the wheels, you're set to jet. Grade 3, here I come. Toot, toot, diddly doot.
Okay.
Well, that's what you call a snappy segment.
There's some poor kid out there that never had such a cool mom like you to humiliate them in this way.
No, when I didn't have to carry a buck knife and
I'm telling you, dude, you should see it's nuts. I'm like, a flashlight? What the hell do they need a flashlight?
See, that's crazy.
In the middle of the day. I'm like, we're going to have a blackout? Why does she need a flashlight? It's just nuts.
No, that is
nuts.
It is nuts.
It's just crazy. And then I got in trouble because I cut the sandwich in half and I didn't cut it into quarters and...
What?
You don't even begin to know. You don't begin to know.
Oh, well.
I've given up on trying to. I've just decided that I am willing to be, like, the worst mom in school. I'm fine with it. I'm like, it's fine. It's okay. Heidi, though, still tries. She makes efforts. She volunteers in the kitchen. She wants to be liked. She does. She's like, honey, we need to really make an effort. I was like, babe, we've already lost. We lost before we began. Are you kidding? People drive up in like Priuses and, you know, like.
And there you are in your Bronco.
We roll up in a 69 Bronco that's about 20 feet off the ground thumping to Jay-Z. Are you kidding me? Gas guzzling piece of crap. And they just look at us and they're like, what a bunch of a-holes. They hate our guts over there. But we win because I'm like, you can't hate us all you want, but she's black, we're queer, and our son is Latin. You know you're not getting rid of us. You know you're not. It doesn't matter what car I drive. And the money is green, baby.
That's right. Money is green. Well, I think that's a takeaway on that. Thanking you.
How many of you guys out there are building your own website? Well, if you are, I want to tell you about Squarespace.
It's a super cool company. Squarespace has customizable templates for you to choose from and an all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. It's super simple. Everything is drag and drop. They have 24/7 customer support. You can easily link to your social media accounts. So for our listeners, they're offering a free trial and 10% off. All you have to do is go to squarespace.com/JillianMichaels and use the offer code capital J, capital M, and then the number 9, JM9. Go check it out.
All right. Jess would like to have a word with you.
I'm sure she would. Jess, what's going on, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, bud. I'm good.
That's great. So, yeah, I want to know about, I already have big thighs anyways, but I want to add some definition to them without adding any extra bulk per se.
Okay. Okay. This is very simple. I think women worry that the minute they start doing any type of resistance training, they're going to get bigger. It's not the case. You only get bigger when you're eating more calories than you're burning and when you're lifting really heavy weights. So,
right.
I mean, granted, if you were 300 pounds and you're doing step-ups, that does constitute lifting some weight. But if you're, you know, if you're not 50 to 100 pounds overweight, and by the way, you're not eating more calories than you're burning, you're not going to bulk up. So I would really focus on a lot of body weight training, a lot of body weight exercises like lunges, crossover lunges, backward lunges, side lunges, squats, reverse squats, jump squats, step ups, pelvic thrusts, donkey kicks, deadlifts, back extensions, and the list goes on. There's a ton of stuff you can do where you'll get lean and you'll burn fat and you'll create definition. And remember, definition is about a reduction of body fat because you want to get the fat off the top of the muscle. That's how you get definition. So even still, a very metabolic type of workout where, you know, you've got body weight, you keep yourself moving, you work high intensity cardio intervals in. You could even do cardio, running, things of that nature, as long as you're watching your diet. And you're working out in a way that is metabolic, where the whole goal is to burn calories and shed fat. You're not lifting heavy and you're not eating a ton of food. You won't get any bigger. Now, you may have a day where you do a boot camp class and you go, oh my gosh, I'm so sore and my jeans fit tighter. Like, you will have days where you're swollen. Absolutely.
Right.
If you train a muscle really hard, they're going to swell and it's going to retain fluid. But it's temporary. It's like, it's a day, maybe two. It's not going to be, it's not actual size. It's just fluid. It's just inflammation, which is part of the body's natural healing process.
Right.
So don't be afraid to do resistance on the lower body. That's really going to help you condition those muscles. And if you do it the right way, where you're not resting in between exercises, then it'll be very metabolic and it'll burn the calories and the fat that you want to get that definition. And what I'm going to do right now is send you Killer Buns and Thighs, which is a DVD I created to do exactly what you're asking. And you don't even have to think about it. So Janice is going to get your information, and I will send it to you, and I will make it absolutely, I won't say effortless, because it ain't an easy DVD. It is a 30-minute workout, but you don't have to think about it. Let's put it that way. I'll do that
Wonderful.
Part for you. All you got to do is show up.
All right. I can do that.
All right, buddy.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Get her info, McNeese.
I will. I'll call you back, Jess.
All right. Thanks.
I get what she's saying, though. You know, Bob always wants me to do, he's always trying to get me to go to CrossFit, and I'm like, no way. No.
Because you're afraid of bulking?
Oh, my God. There's not one woman in there that isn't twice my size. And it's like, I just don't. I'm already short, so to be short and thick makes me look like a little bulldog.
Have you ever been thick?
Like, yes. And I work very hard not to be. Very hard.
Because you would
body weight training only and like intensity intervals. I don't lift, have never lift, I never lift weights. Like 3 to 5, it's just body weight. Body weight training.
Really?
Yes. No. Mixed martial arts, capoeira, yoga, all body weight style training. I'll do 20 different kinds of push-ups. I'll do 20 different kinds of exercises for my back, 20 different kinds of exercises for my legs, but I don't.
But not anything with weight.
None of those heavy weight. I'll be freaking enormous. And I don't. And the thing is, I'm not dieting. So I do, you know, I eat.
Right.
Like I
oh, I know.
Get
I
big.
Saw you on the tour. You don't. You
I don't.
You,
di-
you can
I'm
pack
not,
a punch.
I can pack a punch.
You can.
Down Dog gives me big shoulders. I told Bob, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to do that. No way. I go into Down Dog and my shoulders are the size of soccer balls. No. No way.
Wow.
I mean, it just, I'm too short for it. I don't want to be bigger. But it's like you really gotta be prone to it, and you really gotta lift some heavy weights.
Right, right.
I don't want to be a bulldog. Pit bulls are lean. Bulldogs are like these little stubby dogs.
That's what you'd be.
Stubby little necklace dogs. That's what I would be.
If you came back to this earth as something, but that would be...
I'd be a little bulldog.
With the teeth.
Yeah, snaggly-ass teeth, face all smushed in, no neck, short little stubby creature. That's pretty much what I am right now. If I was a dog, just
no,
breathing on me.
When you're in a mood, yes, but no...
They're sweet dogs too.
You're pretty lean right now. I haven't seen you this lean not that you were a bulky bulldog, but you are more lean than I've ever seen you.
Yeah, I've been training.
Yeah, I know.
For this triathlon thing. Yeah. I know, and then I'm just gonna get chubby again as soon as it's over.
Yeah, that's what I always say. Ooh, that Jillian, she's a look at.
But it makes me look old in the face. Like it looks good on my arms and everything, but it definitely adds age in my face, and the boobs go away.
Oh, because you get gaunt.
I get drawn in the face, and then the boobs get smaller, which bums my flow. So it looks good on my arms and my abs, but my ass, of course, doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there like a big lump. Right on my back of my body there, that big lump.
And I've often thought that, too. I went, oh, there's that Jillian Michaels with the lumpy ass. That's why I always go, oh, here comes lumpy ass. Oh, my God, coming for the show. Here she comes. I can see her ass. Where's Jillian?
Lumping down the road.
Lumping down the road.
There it is. Just lumping down the road. I downloaded a new book and I'm reading it.
Really?
Or listening to it.
Yeah.
Ready? It's called The Poisonwood Bible. It's really old, but it was one of Heidi's favorite books, so she recommended I read it. And it's pretty cool. It's about this family, this southern family who goes to the Congo because their dad is a missionary. And if you were so inclined, Janice, you know you could get it for free right now on audible.com. Yeah, you get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial by signing up at www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise with over 100,000 downloadable titles across all genres of Audible entertainment. That was good, huh? That was a good read. Yeah.
All right, we are back, and David would like to have a word with you.
Hey, David, what's going on?
Not too much. How are you, Jillian?
I'm good, sweetie. What's up?
Well, I just I wanted to talk to you, ask you about a couple things. I have a little issue with maybe hitting a wall, and I'm a runner, and I've run for more than 3 years now, and I've done half marathons, and the winter's tough, of course. I'm in Colorado.
Okay.
The winter can be tough as far as trying to stay in the gym, but I do like to run outside.
Okay.
But, and I really would like to try to figure out how to, you know, get over the hump, get over this wall. So
the wall, explain the wall to me. You're a runner, and now you don't feel like running anymore.
Well, okay, well, I'll run. I'll do like a 3.5 miles, and I won't do any more than that anymore. Like, I used to like to do my long runs on weekends, on Saturdays.
Okay.
And I'm just kind of not doing it. And,
okay, you know, well, let me ask you something. Is this a theme in your life right now? Like, are you feeling like, you know, I start a project, I don't finish it. I you know what I mean? Like, are you feeling a lack of motivation in other areas? Because I'm wondering if maybe you're just sick of running. Like, maybe you need a CrossFit class. Maybe you need a kickboxing class. Maybe you need a spinning class. Maybe you need a yoga class. Maybe you just need some change. Maybe it's grown monotonous. Unless you're like, no, I'm feeling, you know, slightly apathetic, slightly, in other areas of my life. What's ringing true for you?
I do really think it is the running. I think maybe, you know, sometimes I do get sick of it. I try to change up my paths.
Yeah.
We actually have a nice running path right behind my house. But I do try to change up my running path here and there. And we do a lot of hiking. And I think I've tried to do more hiking, but I'm not feeling the exercise quite like the running when I do the hiking.
I get you. But, okay, so when you stop, right? So you're 3 miles in and then you're like, ugh. What's going on when you hit that? What mentally is happening for you when you hit the wall?
I guess mostly I'm hitting my 30-minute mark, and I kind of am just done.
Done how? You're not physically done.
Bored.
You're bored. Right. Okay. Any other area you're experiencing this in your life?
Not really.
No. Oh, sweetie, stop running for a while. This is the, you know, of course you're bored. I love sushi, but I don't want it every single night. You know what I mean? Of course you're bored. And I think it's just because, you know, you're good at running and you've done it for such a long time that you're like, what's wrong with me? This is my staple. This is my identity. I'm a runner. But people have multiple careers in a lifetime. They have multiple relationships in a lifetime. Maybe you need a new sport. I would go bananas if I had to do the same thing over and over and over again. And to be honest, it isn't even an ideal way to exercise. You need more variety in your exercise regimen. You need to go and, like, every week I want you to try a new class. I want you to do spin class at a fun, cool cycling studio. I don't know if there's a flywheel yet in Colorado, but I find out. But, you know, there's always going to be a cool spin gym. Go take a martial arts class. Go take an MMA class. Take a capoeira class, which is, like, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Take a yoga class, man. Like a 2-3 flow so you feel challenged. Challenge yourself and try new things and take a class. So there's fun music and it's social and you're around people. And I think it'll be good for you to have that a new challenge and to have a social environment. And I really think it's that simple. What I also find kind of fascinating is why is this sort of like, what's wrong with me? Why do you think something's wrong with you? Or, like, why would you call and say, like, why am I hitting this wall? Do you think there's something wrong with you being bored or wanting to switch it up?
No. I would like to get back into my longer routines on weekends. I'm not doing it. I have a busy summer life with, you know, camping and hiking and kids and soccer now coming up. And just, that's kind of my problem.
Why do you want to get back to it? Because you feel you should? Because it doesn't sound like you're missing it.
Well, when you start getting a little softer around the middle, I feel like I need to get back out there, you know, and just do a little bit better.
Honey, there's a million different workouts that you can do that will keep you from getting softer around the middle. You don't need to do those. You don't want to do it, and you're going to start resenting it, which is why you're hitting that wall.
Okay.
Yeah, give yourself permission to have a little more fun. Try something new. Okay. It feels almost like you made it a chore. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to do this. Ugh. And there's no way to go into a workout. If you lay off of it too for a while and you give yourself permission to not do it and to do something else, you'll eventually come back to it. Not permanently. You'll have some new workouts in your repertoire and your arsenal, but, you know, there'll be a nice reunion with your long runs at some point. But, yeah. You know, give yourself, what is it? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Try something new. Spice it up.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You know what? I get him. You know when you get something that works, you get to a certain exercise where you know my body feels just the way I want it to feel. And it's hard to match that. Like, so he knows that long distance run is probably, I don't know.
I guess it doesn't work for me because theoretically I know that you need to be, the best thing you could do is have variety in your routine. And I have kind of a 2-year rule. I can't do anything longer than 2 years.
Seriously?
No, I got to get out of a car in 2 years. Every house I seem to be done with in 2 years. It's like, I don't know what it is. Every 2 years, I'm like, I go bananas.
And you can be satiated. Ooh, that's a big word for Janice. I got that from you.
Whoa.
You can feel that satiation, whatever, from something new. Can you find that? Can
I
you match
need
it?
Something new where I feel like I'm missing out on life. There's so many things to eat. There's so many places to visit. There's so many people to talk to. There's so many experiences to have. Like, oh my God, I go bananas. I cannot stand routine. Can't,
oh, that's
which
so
is why another reason Biggest Loser's been so hard for me, because I like the work with the contestants.
You always have a connection with your contestants.
I love that. Cool. I love that part of it. You know, that is just, that's special. I think the part that you feel at the end of the day is the emotion, is the celebration, is the journey, and that's, you know, that's special. You don't get that. I haven't found that anywhere else. Yet that part of it. So
yeah.
Oh, except with you.
Oh, except you. Except you. Go home. Get out of here.
God.
Goodbye.
Oh, good riddance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.